Savior Jesus Christ. Today is our day, what day now? It's the 12th day of the month of June, and I'd like to remind all of us that we have already gone through half a year. I want to keep on reminding all of us so that you will all realize that time is passing by us very, very quickly. Now the question that we all need to ask ourselves, and I want to remind all of us to ask ourselves, is this: what have we done for the Lord this past year? What have we done for Him? And then at the close of the year, when we come and reflect on what we have done for the Lord, let us pray that by then we will have something to mention before the Lord, something that we can think of that something that had glorified the name of the Lord in the process of time in the year 2011. Now this morning, my subject is our all-knowing, compassionate, able Lord. Our all-knowing, compassionate, able Lord. And I speak from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, and I will be referring to other passages also. But keep your finger primarily at John chapter 6. Now this passage that was read earlier on talks about the feeding of the 5,000. Now this perhaps was the most public of all the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is recorded in the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it is perhaps the only miracle, apart from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is recorded in the four Gospels. And because it is so much attention is given to it, I think it is necessary that we give attention to the performance of this miracle, or at least this incident. Now, Luke chapter 9 gives us a parallel account of this incident. I read for you in Luke chapter 9 and verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told Jesus all that they had done. Jesus had sent them out, the 12 apostles, to minister, to share the gospel with others. And he took them, Jesus took his disciples, and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So the Lord took them to a desert place, and this place belonged to the city of Bethsaida. So this incident, of course, took place by the Sea of Galilee. Now the question is, why did the Lord and his disciples come to this desert place that belonged to the city of Bethsaida? Now the reason was this: the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to withdraw himself and his disciples from public notice. It was a retreat for him and his disciples, because they were so very, very busy, so busy that they didn't even have the time to eat. I read for you from another parallel account in Mark chapter 6. And he said unto his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You see, we need the retreat, we need the rest. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They didn't even have the time to eat. They were so busy. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. But then, the people, upon hearing that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to this desert place which belonged to the city of Bethsaida, followed them on foot. And so they came to this place. Now, I'd like us to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this incident. And we read in John chapter 6, verse 5. All right, look at John chapter 6, verse 5 now. I read for you that verse, John chapter 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread and this that these may eat? When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. Now we mustn't take these words to mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was taken by surprise and that he was not expecting that big crowd to come to him. Of course he knew. Our Lord, of course, knew that there was this big crowd coming to him, because our Lord is all-knowing. And he knew exactly why these people were going there, following them. He knew exactly what was in the heart of man, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not only see the outside of us, but he sees the inside of us as well. And he knew that they were there because they had seen the miracles that had performed, that had been performed by the Lord Jesus Christ earlier. And so they were there. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that they were there, or at least many of them, he knew that many of them were there because they were there out of curiosity. They wanted to be a part of the excitement. They wanted to see the excitement. Yes. And many of them were actually not interested in spiritual matters. Things that counted for eternity, they were not interested in. They were not interested in the spiritual kingdom, but they were interested in a social, political kingdom. They wanted a Messiah that would lead them to fight against the Roman rulers, to deliver them from the Roman rulers. And they wanted a Messiah who could feed their stomachs. And so we read this in verse 15. Look at verse 15. When Jesus, therefore, perceives that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And so you see, after they saw the miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed, the miracle of feeding the 5,000, they were, of course, very astounded, and they wanted him to become their king. Why? Because they wanted to be continually fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Yes, they wanted a social, political Messiah that would feed their stomachs and that who would lead them against the Roman government. But that day, the Lord also surely knew that there were those among them who were sincere, who were genuine seekers, who were interested in spiritual things, who were there because they wanted to know the way to heaven. They wanted to know the way of salvation. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that these were people who wanted spiritual food. And of course, that day, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to perform the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Now, my point is this. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what the crowd wanted and what the crowd needed. That's the point, my dear friends. He knew. For how could he show his compassion towards the people if he didn't know their needs? So he knew their needs very well. Now today, what are your needs? As we sit in this sanctuary here, let's ask ourselves, what are our needs? Does he not know our needs? My dear friends, he knows. Just as he lifted up his eyes in yesteryears and saw the huge multitude and saw every of the individuals in the multitude, he sees every one of us today. And he knows all our needs, every single need he knows. Now you might have problems that are so secret, so confidential that you would not want to share with anybody, not even your very, very close loved ones. But does not the Lord Jesus Christ know? Does he not know what your problem is? Does he not know what your need is? Of course he knows. So let us be very, very comforted that we have such a great and wonderful all-knowing Savior in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only did he know the needs of the multitude that day, but he looked upon them with compassion. Yes, he felt sympathy for them. He was very compassionate towards them. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them." Moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Friends, our Lord was moved with compassion when he saw that multitude. Aren't we grateful, my dear friends, that he knows all about us. He knows all our needs. And then he is very, very full of compassion towards us. How sad it will be if he knows all our needs, but that he's not compassionate towards us and he doesn't care for us. But thank God he cares for us. He's fully compassionate towards us. And that day the Lord Jesus Christ saw these folks and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Sheep really are very stupid creatures, stupid animals. Yes, and when they get lost, they really get lost. They are not like cats and dogs. Cats and dogs can get lost, but somehow they are able to get back to their home. But where sheep are concerned, when they are lost, they are really lost. And if they are not found by the shepherd in good time, they will fall prey to wild animals. And you know something? The word of God likens us to sheep. You know how stupid we are? Very, very stupid indeed, spiritually. And so the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Stubbornly and foolishly we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Like sheep, without a shepherd, are very, very vulnerable to the attacks of wild animals. Without we, my dear friends, without the Lord Jesus Christ, will fall prey easily to the evil one, to Satan. And in our unconverted condition, in the days before we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth is we were children of the devil and we were completely under his control. And that's the truth, friends. We were under his control. And if you are unconverted today, you are indeed sheep without a shepherd. Yes, sheep without a shepherd. And that's what you are. You have gone astray, you are lost in your sin, and today you are living under the power of sin. Now sheep, without the guidance of the shepherd, are so foolish that they do not know where to find good drinking water. They do not know where to find it, and so what do? They drink from all kinds of contaminated pools. And in next to no time, they are very, very diseased. They suffer from all kinds of diseases. In your unconverted condition, my dear friends, yes, you are a sheep without a shepherd. And my dear friends, where would you go? You will go and drink from you will go and drink from contaminated pools as well. And you think that you are quenching your thirst, but you are not. You drink the contaminated pools from contaminated pools, and you become very, very diseased. You go after the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the leisures of the world, the fame of the world, the wealth of the world, yes, the social status of the world. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are illegitimate. Many of them are legitimate. But the point is this. Yes, the problem is this. You are consumed by them. You go after them and you are consumed by them. And you think that all these things that you go after can fill the spiritual void in your heart. But alas, after being consumed by them, you are still as spiritually thirsty as ever. And that's how you're going to feel. You think they are going to satisfy you? No, they are not. You are going to be as thirsty as ever. And some of these things have taken first place in your heart. In other words, they have become your gods. Yes. You spiritually, you are sick, you are diseased with sin. You are diseased with sin because you have broken the laws of God. And the laws of God tell us very, very clearly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. But what do we love? We love these things of the world. They have become our gods. Friends, you are in need of this compassionate shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, you are lost in your sin. You are lost in darkness and sin, and you need him to save you out of your darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, you need this shepherd to feed you with good spiritual food. You need this shepherd to give you soul-quenching water. You need him to feed you with his word of life. And in fact, you need him to feed you with his very self, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the bread of life. You need him to feed you with his very self. And you need this compassionate Savior, this compassionate shepherd to save you. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that precisely was what he did. He went to the cross of Calvary, died for us on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for us. And friends, today if you would come to him and you would say to him, Lord, I want to be your sheep. I want you to be my shepherd. And you truly repent from your sins, my dear friends, he will save you out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light. So why don't you come to him today, my dear friends, and you come to him, he'll feed you with his very self, and your soul thirst will be quenched. Now what about us believers, those who are his sheep? Do we still continue, continue to need his compassion? My dear friends, we need him to be compassionate to us every day. We need his compassion every day, every minute of the day. As his sheep, my dear friends, we ought to be hearing his voice all the time, so that we will be led into green pastures, so that we will be led to places where we will be able to drink clean, soul-quenching thirst water. But, friends, what happens is very often we allow our sinful nature in us to take charge. The remnant of the sinful nature, which should become less, and we should take less and less control over us. But we allow it to take charge. We go astray, we backslide. And instead of drinking from the fountain of life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and instead of feeding on his word, what do we feed on? We feed on things of the world, of course. We feed on the thinking of the world. What the world says is good, we agree. We say it's good. So we feed on what? We feed on what the glamorous magazines, so-called the television, the movies, and the net tell us to feed on. And they tell us what to think about. Isn't it true? They tell us what to talk about. They tell us how to dress. They tell us what perfume to wear. They tell us what cars to drive. They tell us what kind of lifestyle we ought to be adopting. They tell us what kind of moral standards we ought to have. And like sheep, which have gone astray, we agree. We say, yeah, correct. I have this for my life. We greedily feed on these cesspools. And in next to no time, we who are supposed to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ lose our testimony. We are no longer separate from the world, but we become very, very much a part of the world. That's what we become. And lost in the world, we end up with lots of heartaches and headaches. In some instances, we see people getting involved in unwanted relationships. Christian boys and Christian girls getting involved with non-Christian girls and non-Christian boys. Yes, and even if they wanted to get out of the relationship, they do not know how. And sometimes they end up having unwanted pregnancies. And sometimes they contract sexually transmitted diseases. And then what about adults, Christian adults? We see Christian adults going into business ventures with non-Christians. Now the amount of heartaches are simply not worth having. Even the business that comes as a result of the partnership is prosperous and very profitable. Yes, the heartaches and the headaches are just not worth having. How we need the good shepherd, this great and good and kind shepherd, to bring us back into safety and security. We need his fellowship. And what does he do? Often he applies his rod and his staff upon us. And out of compassion for us, again you see, out of compassion for us, he chastises us to bring us back unto himself. He chastises us not because he hates us, not because he enjoys punishing us, not because he likes to see us being punished. No, my dear friends, he does it because he loves us. He is full of compassion towards us. The word of God says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. He wants to receive us, but he needs to scourge us. He needs to chastise us so that we can be restored to him. And so in yesteryears, by the Sea of Galilee, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looked up and he saw this great company of people coming to him. And his heart went out to them. He had great compassion towards them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has ascended up on high. And from on high, he looks down upon us. And he looks down upon us with compassion. His heart goes out to us. He knows exactly what each one of us is in need of. Yes, and he's full of compassion to us, and he wants to meet our needs. Now, if we have trusted in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as Savior, we can all safely say that we are his sheep. We have trusted in him, and he has become our shepherd. And because we are his sheep, we can very, very confidently say that he is compassionate towards us. And graciously, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And when we go through trials, even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, this Savior of ours, this great and good shepherd who is very, very compassionate, is with us. And when we get out of line, as we said, he applies his rod on us, his rod and his staff, to get us into line. And he feeds us, graciously he protects us against the wiles of the evil one. And he leads us, my dear friends, he continues to lead us heavenward. And one day, my dear friends, we will be led into his holy presence, where we will be in forever and ever, yes, for all eternity. So you see, friends, how compassionate this Savior of ours is. And to you who are not his sheep yet, I do not know who you are. Yes, you may seem to be believers because you have been coming to church Sunday after Sunday. But you may still not be his sheep. But friends, if you are not his sheep yet, he says to you this morning, come and be my sheep, and I will be your Savior. Will you not come? Will you not hear his voice and come and be his sheep today? Then Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. Matthew chapter 14, and verse 15 and 6 to 16. All right, Matthew 14. All right. I'll read for you these two verses. Matthew 14, 15 and 16. Verse 15. And when it was evening, talking about the same incident, it is just that this is recorded in the book of Matthew. His disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now, as far as the disciples were concerned, the crowd had to be dismissed. The crowd had to be sent away. They had to go and find their own food. But the Lord Jesus Christ was full of compassion. He was concerned about the hunger of the people. And so he said, they need not depart. Give it them to eat. My dear friends, how lack of compassion the disciples were. Perhaps we might say, well, it was only natural for the disciples to say what they said. After all, where were they going to get food to feed the 5,000 people? Now, humanly speaking, there was no bread to feed them. But that's not the point. The point was in what they said. In what they said, we could not detect any sense of compassion on their part. Yes, they just said, send them away. Might not they have said something better? Might not they have said something that showed that they had compassion? Could they not have said, Lord, we feel very, very sorry for these people. It's now late. What can we do for them, Lord? At least that's what they could have said. But no, that's not what they said. What did they say? Send them away. That's all they said. Send them away. Now, this was not the only occasion when the disciples demonstrated such kind of unfeeling, non-compassionate behavior. There was this occasion, you remember, when adults brought little children to the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted the Lord to bless the little children. And what did the disciples do? Same thing. Send them away. Yes, the children are a nuisance to us. And they rebuked the adults for bringing the children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was very, very displeased with the action. And so we read in Mark chapter 10, I read for you, don't have to refer to that passage. I read for you. And they brought young children to Jesus, that he might touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Friends, what a contrast between the behavior of our Lord and that of the disciples. How lack of compassion these disciples were. You think that was the only other occasion that they showed that they lacked compassion? Let me give you another incident. Remember there was this woman, a Canaanitish woman, a Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the Lord to deliver her daughter of demon possession. Did you remember that incident? Yes. And what did the disciples do? They said exactly the same thing. Send her away. Send her away, for she cries after us. Because she was a Gentile woman. Yes, the Jews didn't like the Gentiles to come near them. So they said, send her away. The Lord was very, very gracious, very kind towards her, and delivered her daughter of demon possession. Now it seems the disciples were very, very good at one thing, and that was to send people away. Now before we are critical of them, let us look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and I'd like us to consider this little write-up here. All right. A man fell into a ditch. So you listen, a man fell into a ditch. A realist, seeing a man having fallen into a ditch, would say this. That's a ditch. Of course it's true. He sees the ditch and he says, that's a ditch, that's true. Now what would an optimist say, seeing a man who has fallen into the ditch? He will say, he'll probably say this. He's an optimist. Things will get better for him. Now what about a pessimist? A pessimist will say, oh, things will get worse for him. Now what about a newspaper reporter? He possibly will say, I pay you for an exclusive story of your life in the ditch. That's what he probably would say. Now what about a council official? What do you think a council official will say? He probably will say, hey, by the way, did you get a permit for your life in the ditch? Yes. And what about a preacher? What will a preacher say when he sees a man who has fallen into a ditch? I think he would probably say this. I see three things about the ditch, not the person, you know. I see three things about the ditch, and I'll preach a sermon on these three things. Then what about a tax man? The tax man will say, have you paid your tax for the ditch? Now then what about the good administrator for providing help? This good administrator will say, hey, please fill out a form and give us the details of your need and tell us how you fell into the ditch. Then maybe we'll be able to help you. But this man said, give me your hand and I will help you. Who do you think this man is? Of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Full of compassion. Give me your hand and I will help you. Now talking about a good administrator of funds for helping people reminds me of this good administrator that I knew of years ago in this church. Yes, it's a true story, by the way. He was a good administrator, a very, very efficient one. He was one who was a sticker to rules. And every time there was a need in the church to help someone, the first thing he would say is, get that someone to fill out the form. And that form was, of course, designed by him. Yes, and that form required the person requesting for help to give details of his bank accounts. Can you imagine that? Asking him to give details of his bank accounts, and then the whole purpose of the form was designed to ask the person to explain why he needs to be helped. Now, the form, administratively speaking, do you think it was a good form? Yes. I would say administratively. It sounded good because it discouraged people from abusing the church fund. But the problem was that this administrator was focusing on the letter of the form and not the spirit of the form. The way the fund was administered reflected a very bad attitude. It was not one that says, we want to help you. Yes, please tell us how we may be able to help you. But rather, the attitude that comes across is this. Why? Tell us why we should help you. Tell us why we should help you. Now, anybody filling out that form, I'm sure, would be able to detect that attitude. That attitude lacked compassion. You know what was the result? You know how many people came forward to ask for help in that church? Practically zero. Yes. Because of that kind of non-compassionate attitude, who would dare to apply for help in that church? but the Lord is absolutely compassionate. We must be like him, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The trouble with us is that we see the lack of compassion in other people, but we do not see that lack in ourselves. But we truly lack compassion, and I have to confess that I lack compassion. Because when I deal with people, I think of them as people. I don't go beyond that. I do not think of them as souls. I do not see them as souls heading forward towards a Christless eternity. No, I don't see that. Yes? But friends, if we are truly compassionate like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherever we may be, whether it be in our classrooms, whether it be in the university, whether it be at the station, whether it be in the supermarket, my dear friends, we will be looking at people through the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will be very compassionate towards them. Now, I'm sure all of us must have seen aerial pictures on television of disaster hit areas, right? And the disaster could have been caused by a flood. So what do we see on television? What picture do we see? Of course we see rooftops, nothing but rooftops, because the buildings are practically submerged by the flood. Now when we look at the rooftops, sincerely answer this question. Do we think of the people who live under the rooftops? Yes or no? I say no. No. And if we do think of those people who live under the rooftops, if we ever think of them, do we think of them as souls? No, we don't. We don't think of them as sheep scattered in those houses without a shepherd. Some of them could have been swept away by the flood, lost forever without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my dear friends, we naturally do not think of these people under the roofs, much less their souls. We only see the rooftops, that's all.